Hey, good morning, everyone. Let's begin. We're on today's daf is daf Yud Tes. So we got two lines down. The Gemara begins a new brayza, Tanu Rabbanan. Nosin mizonos lefnei akelav bechatzer. You could give food in front of the dog in a chatzer in a courtyard. Not lo v'yotza in his kakin lo. If the dog takes the food and goes out and carries it b'chut somewhere, there's not a problem at all. There's no issue. Let the dog take the food wherever it wants. Kayote, both similarly, nosin mizonos lefnei anachri b'chatzer. You could also give food to a nachri in the chatzer, and not leviato enis kakelo, and he could take the food wherever he wants, and we're not concerned that he's carrying it on Shabbos, both by a kelev and by a nachri. So the Gemara says, Hasulam, what's the need to teach me both a din by a kelev and a nachri, the same exact din, that you're allowed to feed them and they could carry wherever they want? So the Gemara says, Mal, the same way, what would you have thought? Haya, Rami Aleh, Vahaylo Rami Aleh. One's the responsibility to feed the animals, and there's a chiv to feed the animals. Rashi is kelev is rami ala lezona. You have to feed your dogs, and therefore that would be a heter, that even though the dog might take the food outside and carry it, you're allowed to because you have a responsibility to feed the dogs. When it comes to a nachri, there's no responsibility to feed the nachri. Maybe you would not be allowed to. Kamash Ulan, one would be allowed to. What's the concern here of feeding the animal? So Tosis points out here, the concern is doing a tircha yisera, doing unnecessary work. So Tosis asks a question. Look at Tosis, the first Tosis on the top here, Dira Maschel, Nosnin Mizonos Lenachri Bechatzer. Three lines down in Tosis he asks, Vim Tomar, Vamai Nosnin Mizonos Lenachri B'Shabbos. Why are you allowed to give food to a Nachri on Shabbos? Ha Kevan De'ein Mizonoseim Alecha. Since you have no responsibility to feed the nachri, kedaminu nachacha, like we learned here, the Gemara clearly says there's no chiv to feed nachri. Ubeperk beis debate to daf chafalaf, we learn the motzi ani es hanachri shein mizonosein alecha. Litzar, since there's no responsibility, like the Gemara says here in the Gemara Beitza, that you don't have to feed a goy, litaser, it should be usher to feed a goy on Shabbos, kidamrinu beperek bas, we're going to learn at the very end of the Masechta here, to usher litroach b'Shabbos losseis mizonos lefnei chazer. You can't be matriarch yourself to feed a pig, bishum d'ein mizonoson mizonos alecha. There's no responsibility, no requirement to feed pigs. A Jew's not allowed to own a pig. So by definition, a pig is ownerless. So the Gemara says, by you feeding pigs, that's tircha yisera. That's not your responsibility. And to do tircha yisera in Shabbos, that's a violation of tircha. Hachanami says to us, habalei lemeser minachri. Since you don't have an obligation to feed the nachri, it should be tircha yisera to feed a nachri. The Tosfos answers v'yeshlomar kevin de mefarnesin ani nachem im ani Yisrael mishum darche shalom. The Gemara says in Gittin that when you're giving out money to an ani Yisrael and an ani goy comes, you have to give them tzedakah as well. Because if not, it's going to look terrible. It's going to create eva and fighting and animosity. Because of darche shalom purposes, if you're serving, if you're providing food and money to ani Yisrael, you also have to give that to ani Akum. And since that's the case, says Tosfos, Choshev Ktsas Mizono Sov Alecha. It's similar, it's somewhat, it's considered a little bit as if you have a responsibility to support the guy. Le'inin Isser Terech Shvus Derbanan. With respect to the issue of Tircha, Tircha on Shabbos isn't a malacha, it's a Shvus Derbanan. And since there's a Ktsas Mitzvah involved here, namely that there's somewhat of an obligation to support the Nachri, you're allowed to do this on Shabbos. Aval le'inin asiyas malacha b'yamtif l'havi iser deraisa lo chashiv mizonos alecha. But to do a malacha on yamtif, so you and I could do malacha for ourselves, heter achol nefesh. But I can't do a malacha of cooking for a goy, that's a malacha deraisa. So you can't push off a malacha deraisa for the purpose of feeding a goy, but you can push off a shavus of tircha for the purpose of a goy. Now there's an interesting discussion in Rishonim. The Gemara said that you have a responsibility to feed a dog, a kelev. Is that referring to a kelev that you own, or even an ownerless kelev? And the Miri says it sounds like from the Gemara that even a stray dog you have a responsibility to feed. Why is that? So the Gaonim explain, because based on the pasuk it says, well, when we were leaving Mitzrayim, the dogs were quiet. They didn't let it out. They didn't bark. They didn't blow our cover, and therefore the pasuk says that we have to lekelv tashlichun also, that trefas and nevelas we give to a kelev, we reward the dog by feeding them. Here as well, that we reward the dogs by feeding them, even though we don't own them, there's a certain chiv of mizonos on us, even by a stray dog. The other mifarshim explained another reason is because the Gemara in Shabbos says here that the Torah was, Kadosh Baruch was chas on the kelev, because it's understood, Kadosh Baruch Hu knew that the kelev, there's very little food available to the dog, apparently. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu made it in such a way that the food of a dog remained in its stomach for 3 days so it doesn't get hungry quickly. So you see that the Torah went out of its way to support the dog. So too, we have an obligation to support the dogs as well. And there's a mitzvah, There's a mitzvah chiyuv that we have to feed the dogs. So based on this, the Magen Avraham says, so that makes sense by a dog, that even a ownerless dog, even a stray dog, we have to feed. But what about birds? There's a minhag that on Shabbos Shira, that we feed the birds on Shabbos because the birds sing the song of the Shira. So how are you allowed to feed the birds? It's ownerless, the hefker, there's no obligation to feed them. Shouldn't that be Tircha Yisera? And the Magen Avraham says, no, it's actually wrong. A person should not. We should abolish such a minhag to feed the birds on Shabbos. The Aruch HaShulchan comes along and says, no, you're allowed to. Minhag Yisrael is Tari, and this has been a long-standing minhag. And he explains that we're not feeding the birds for the purpose of the birds, but we're feeding the birds for the purpose of ourselves, because we have a karas atov that the birds are singing the song of the Shira. It reminds us of the simcha of Kriyas Yamsuf, and therefore we feed the birds as a token of appreciation, and therefore it's somewhat for ourselves in terms of feeding the birds. Okay, back inside the Gemara now, around 7 lines down, the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanam, lo yasher adam kelev lenachri be'erev Shabbos. A person should not rent out his kelim to a nachri in Erev Shabbos. Birviyu b'chamishi mutter. Although on Friday you're not allowed to, on Wednesday and Thursday you are allowed to. So what's the going on here? So Tosus points out here, it's also Rashi, but Tosus is a little bit more elaborate. Tosus writes, lo yasher, ein lefarish mishum shvisas kelim, uku be'shamay. Renting out your kelim is not a concern of shvisas kelim. It's not like Beis Shammai. Because if Beis Shammai was the author of the Braisa, dim kein, afil b'reviv v'chamishi nami, then even on Wednesday and Thursday, you shouldn't be able to rent out your kelim if he's going to end up using it on Shabbos. Because your kelim are going to be used on Shabbos. Ella ki Beis Hillel. This Braisa like Beis Hillel. Deles behu shvisas kelim. Shvisas kelim isn't a concern. Oh, even if it's Beis Shammai, it's a chaluk or talus kiyotu b'hai, airi. Types of kelim, the lo shayach shvisas kelim. There's no issue of clothing being worn is not an issue of shvisas kelim. The aser, so why is the aser then if it's not shvisas kelim? The fisha nira kenotos char Shabbos afa pishim aschiro yachad chodesh shavua, because it looks like you're collecting a reward, you're collecting rent for something on Shabbos, and you can't collect rent on Shabbos, you can't make money on Shabbos. That's why it's aser to rent it in an erev Shabbos. But if it's Wednesday and Thursday, so then that's already permitted because that's going to be through Havulah, that you're selling it for a few days, for a week, for a whole unit, that's not singling out Shabbos as one day of rent. Then the Gemara says, Ein Meshalchen Igros B'yad Nachri B'Erev Shabbos. You can't send out a letter in the hand of a Nachri in Erev Shabbos. B'dalu B'chamishi, and Wednesday or Thursday, Mutter, it's permitted, you're allowed to. So Amru Alav Al Rabbi Yossi, they've said by Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Amru La, others say it was Rabbi Yossi HaChassid, Shalom Nimsa K'sav Yado B'yad Nachri B'Olam. He never allowed any of his writings to be in the hand of the Nachri, lest the Nachri ends up carrying it on Shabbos. He didn't want him carrying it on Shabbos. He was very, very machmir on himself. So if it's Wednesday and Thursday, so then that's already allowed. But if it's going to be Erev Shabbos, it looks like you're commissioning the goy to work for you, and therefore it's not allowed. But if it was given on Wednesday and Thursday, so that's understood that you didn't send them dafka on Shabbos. So this is very relevant for sending packages and sending letters. So the Gemara says further now, Tanur Rabbanan quotes a Braisa, Ein Mishalchin Igeris B'yad Nachri Erev Shabbos. You can't send a letter in the hand of a goy on Friday. Elam Kein Kotet Lo Dam, unless you paid him for it. If you paid him for it, why is that allowed? Because Rashi explains here, Elam Kein Kotet Lo Damim, 3 narrow lines down, says Rashi, Techevin the Kotet Lo Damim, since you gave him a price, you're giving him money, a set amount of money to do this, B'didetar, he's doing this for himself, he's not doing this for you. If he's doing me a tova, so then that's shlichas, that's a violation of Amir La'akum. But he's doing this for himself. Why is he doing this for himself? Because he wants the money. He wants to get paid. He wants the money of the letter. Since he's doing it for this himself, then that's not viewed as a shliach of you. Gemara then says, Beishami omrim kedesh yagia lebeiso. Now there still is another concern aside from the reward, the money he's getting, but there's also a concern of him carrying things on your behalf, like we said. Beishami says, you only allowed to send the letter if there's enough time for him to get to his house before Shabbos, or to the recipient's house before Shabbos. Beisila omrim, kedesh yagiyu lebayis asamech lechomer. No, he doesn't have to actually get to the guy's house, but he has to at least be able to get to the city walls of the person to whom he's saying. So the Gemara says, asks the question, v'alo katatz. So isn't a case where you're paying him money? So who cares whether he could get to the house or not? If you're paying him money, the nachi is working for himself to get paid, not working for you. So who cares if he's getting to the city or not getting to the city or getting to the house? So Amar Rav Sheshi, Rav Sheshi says, Hachi Kamar, what's going on here in the Braisa is as follows. That if you, Enechanami, if you gave him said money, you gave him a price, Imkatat, so then he could leave even Erev Shabbos. He's doing this for himself. But Vim Lo Katat, the case is if he didn't give him a set price, he didn't pay him money, Beishami, Omri, Beishami says, well, then he's working for you, Ad Sheagila Beiso. He has to be able to get to the recipient's house before Shabbos begins. Beishil Omrim Ad Sheagila Beiso has Samech Lachoma. You have to get to the city at least, but not to the guy's house. That's all if Im Lo Katat. But Hamas Reisha, but didn't the Reisha say the Braisa ain't Meshalchin? You can't sell it unless you give a set price. Sounds like if there's no set price, you can't send it even if he will reach the house, even if he will reach the city. And the Gemara says, well, Kasha, that's not a question. Ha de kavia be davar b'masa, ha de lokvia be davar b'masa. The question becomes, if there's a person in charge, like a post office of some sort, where he's kavua, then you know, you're going to send it to that person as kavua. You know for sure he's going to be there. So then it's permitted, even though you were in katzatz, but as long as he could get to the central post office and drop it off, then that would be fine. But a case of hadulo kavile bedavar b'masa, in a situation where you didn't give the set price to the nachu, and there is no central postal service, so then he has to start searching around where the guy's going to be. Maybe he went to another city, into another city. He might continue to travel even on Shabbos. Then it would be usher in this situation. Okay. Gemara now says, going weiter. Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan ein mafligin b'svina pachos mishlosh yomim kodem l'shabbos. A person's not allowed to go on a boat 3 days prior to Shabbos. So these are one of the sugyas that when the Mishnah Berurah presents the Siman Shulchan Aruch, he gives a whole long hakdama to understand what's going on here. So there are a total of 6 different explanations why a person cannot go on a boat less than three days before Shabbos. So the answer is running through them pretty quickly. Rabbeinu Hanano says on the side of the page, the concern is an issur of tchum, going outside 2,000 amos outside the tchum, that's the concern. The Rif says, because when a person starts going on the boat, he's going to violate Oneg Shabbos. If it's more than 3 days away, so then his body gets used to the rough waters and he'll enjoy Shabbos. But within 3 days, the body's still adjusting to the movements of the waves, and therefore Shabbos is going to come, it's going to ruin his Oneg Shabbos. The Baal Mor explains, because he's putting himself into a sakana. Oftentimes, a person is in a dangerous time when traveling on the boat, and they'll need to be Mechal Shabbos. To put herself, a person's in that position would be a violation of Chil Shabbos. If it's 4 days beforehand, you have no obligation to anticipate what it's going to be. But within 3 days of Shabbos, you have to look ahead and anticipate there's going to be some Chil Shabbos, and that's why it should be avoided. Tosas writes, as the fourth sheet, the Tosas here on the side of the page, says it's an issue of swimming. Swimming, we know, a person can't swim in Shabbos lest he build a raft. So here as well, when you're on a boat, maybe something is going to require you to fix something in the boat, to fix the boat, and therefore, that's the concern. The fifth shita is the Rashbam. The Rashbam is brought in Tosus and Irvin, and he says this is all shita's base shamai going on here, that a person can't do any malacha that's going to continue on Shabbos. So this, since this is continuing to go on Shabbos, it's usher according to Beis Shammai. And then finally, the sixth understanding is the shita of the Ramban. It's not an issue of sakana, but oftentimes when you're, you know, riding a boat, you're running the boat, you're going to have to do malachas in order to get things going, get things moving, and therefore it's a problem of doing malachas on Shabbos. So for a variety of reasons, as we mentioned, it's usher to go within 3 days of Shabbos on a boat. But the Gemara then qualifies and says, "Bameh dvar amurim." When is this true? The dvar rishus. When you're going to a dvar rishus, when you're going voluntarily to, I don't know, to go to see the ocean, to go on a cruise. About dvar mitzvah shapir dami. When it comes to dvar mitzvah, a certain purpose, which could be, you know, for the purpose of making parnasa, that could be considered dvar mitzvah, and other such examples. So then it would be permitted even within 3 days of Shabbos. So again, this is a long, complicated sugya found in Shulchan Aruch. When a person does travel, you should negotiate with the captain, Al-Manash Lishbos, that you should say, listen, I'm only going on the boat, but I want you to tell me that you're going to stop on Shabbos, and Eino Shabbos, and even though Lemaisa he doesn't, you should still negotiate with him, that should be part of the deal. But Divrei Rebbe, that's only the Shita of Rebbe. Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Eino Tzarch, there is no need to make such a condition, to make such a stipulation, just go on the boat for Dvar Mitzvah, and everything will be fine. And then the Gemara says, "Vim min tzor l'tzidon." If you're traveling in a very short distance from a city of Tzor to the city of Tzidon, which is less than a day's travel, filo be'er Shabbos mot, you're allowed to go even on Erev Shabbos and touch a boat because you get to your destination with plenty of time before Shabbos. So Tanya Rabbanan, the Braisa says, Ein tsarin ahayaros shel nochim pachos mishlosh yomim kodim l'Shabbos. A person should not siege a non-Jewish city less than 2 days from Shabbos. V'mischilu, if they already had begun, so then ein mafsik, and then you don't stop. So v'chein hayashami omer, Shami would say the same thing, that ad ridita afil b'Shabbos, which Pasuk says, uvanisa matra ha'ir, you're building a fortress around the city, ashahu osa imcham milchama, building a city, ad ridita. Ad ridita means until you rest, afil b'Shabbos, once you start, you don't stop even on Shabbos. So what's wrong with sieging a city 3 days before Shabbos? So this too is machlokas. The Rif says because of Onik Shabbos, the first 3 days the soldiers are very anxious and they're nervous and there's a lot of fear. They're going to have no appetite, so therefore they're going to lose Onik Shabbos. But if it starts a few days before him, it takes 3 days for them to be desensitized, and then if they start on Tuesday, let's say, by the time Shabbos comes around, even though they're still fighting, they'll be more comfortable and able to have proper Onik Shabbos. The Baal Mor says the reason why you can't siege your city within 3 days of Shabbos is because you're putting yourself into danger, and that's going to lead to a Chil Shabbos. Now, this is all true. This limitation of attacking a city is only true of Melchemes Rishus. That's, again, a voluntary type of Melchama. When it comes to a Melchemes Mitzvah, that you could start even on Shabbos itself, you could start an attack for a Melchemes Mitzvah. Back inside the Gemara, now the Gemara says, Amr Meshum Gamliel Nogin Bechulu. This is talking about the din of he would send his white clothing to the launderer 3 days before Shabbos because it took 3 days to clean. It was much harder to clean white clothing. So Tani the Braisa says, Amar Rabbi Tzadok, Kachayam in Hagosha Beis Rabban Gamliel. This was the practice in his house. Shahu Nosnim Kli Lavan Lakovish Shloshim Yam Kodin LaShabbos. Like we said, he would give the white clothing 3 days before Shabbos to get it cleaned. When it came to colored clothing, afilu b'erev Shabbos, even on Friday he'd give it because it'd be much quicker to clean clothing. Being a color clothing, white clothing, for it to be white, you have to really work hard. Color clothing, if there's a little speck here, a little speck there, you won't necessarily notice it because it's colored, so it takes less time to clean. Umidivrem lamanu, we learn from their words, halavanim kashim lekavsam yoser minatzvum. That's harder to clean white clothing than it is to clean color clothing. So Abaye Havayav Lehahu Mana the Tzviya, he once had given an article of clothing to a colorer who would color the clothing. The Katsara, I'm sorry, he gave a colored clothing to a Katsara, to a launderer. And Amalei Abaye says to him, Kama Baisa Ilave, how much do you want for this, for cleaning the clothing? He gave a colored clothing. Amalei Kidichira, the same price I give you for the white clothing should be the same price as the colored clothing. So Amalei, so Abaye says to the launderer, Kfar Kadamach Rabban, the Rabban already preceded you, which we know from the Gemara, that says that it's much harder to clean white clothing than it is to clean color clothing, and therefore it would be incorrect to charge me the same price for white clothing that to that of color clothing. So it must be a cheaper price, please change the price. So Amar Abaye says, Haiman Diyov Mana Lekatsara, a person who gives an article of clothing to a launderer, Bimishcha Nesiv Lei, if he measures it before he gives it to the koves, uve mishcha nishkal minei, and then he measured after he gets it back, ditvei, if it got longer, it got bigger, after the dimascha, it got, the koves ruined it because he caused it to stretch out. Vibatzer, if it got shorter, it shrunk, after the dikapta, it got lost because it got shrunk. So if you measure it, being a launderer, there's a lot of challenges of either stretching it out or making it shrink. These are things that people should be aware of. And it has perhaps relevance in the world of Nezikin. The Gemara now says, V'shavin elu v'elu shetanim, going back to the Mishnah we discussed, that when it came to pressing the wine press, so even Beis Shammai permitted, if you started the process before Shabbos, here he allowed the process to continue even on Shabbos. So it asks the Gemara, Maishna Kula, what was different by all the other cases? The Gazer Behu Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says, if you start the process on Shabbos, you cannot have it continue on Shabbos. But Maishna Karos Beis Abad Vigulei Hagas De Lo Gazer. How come when it came to the wine press and to the olive press, Beis Shammai suddenly permitted one, if they started the process Erev Shabbos, it could continue on Shabbos itself? What's the chiluk? So the Gemara says, Hanach di avilu b'Shabbos mechayv chatas. Over there, by all the other cases we brought down, if the guy did it on Shabbos, that very action, there'd be a chiyav deraisa, a chiyav chatas, and therefore, since it's much more severe, gazu be beis shamai, erev Shabbos mechashecha. He was gozer not to do this even erev Shabbos. But these cases of koros beis abad v'igule hagas, the wine press, and the olive press, di'avilahu, even if it had been done on Shabbos itself, b'Shabbos lo mechayv chatas, it wouldn't lead to a chiv chatas, lo gazru, they were not gozer on Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara says, man tanu, who's the b'risa holds the chol midi de'asim imela shapir dami? So who's the one who holds that these cases here of the wine press and the olive press that won't lead to an Isser Deraisa? Isn't Schita an Isser Deraisa? What does it mean there's no Isser Deraisa going on here? Who holds such a thing? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Hanina, Rabbi Yishmael. This is the Shita of Rabbi Yishmael, who holds the Tzna, the Mishnah, Maseches Edios, Hashum Vaboser. Shum is garlic, Boser is underdeveloped grapes. Vamililos, which are some types of stalks that were not completely matured. Shiriskin Mibodium, if they were squashed, if they were smashed, Erev Shabbos. And so the din is that now you want to do this, so then you're allowed to be mamshech, you could continue, you could yigmor on Shabbos itself. So again, Mibodyom. So if it already was squashed before, and Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Yigmor, you could finish it Misha Tichshach, you could continue the process on Shabbos. Why? If you look at Rashi, last Rashi on the page, before turning the page, Yigmor Me'achar Shiraskan, V'tzavrin B'Koved, after you've squashed it, and you've piled them together, Yanicham B'Kelem V'yotem Me'atzman, U'moter L'chachil, you could let them just kind of seep out on Shabbos itself. If it was already squashed beforehand, it's not subject to any further schita. That's Shita's Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Kiva Omer, going on to Amir Beis, is lo yigmar, a person shouldn't, says Rashi, lo yigmar, osr l'hanicham mibod yom, tachas kovdan, kedei ligmar mishitech shach. He thinks a person may not leave it under the weight of the beams and the press from beforehand, because in order for it to finish. We see either way here, clearly from Shita's Rabbi Yishmael, though, that since it was squashed before Shabbos, the garlic and the grapes and so on, there is no chiv chatas to have it continue to go on Shabbos itself, and that's why it's permitted even according to Beis Shammai. Comes along the Shita of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, no, Amar Rabbi Eliezer he. Rabbi Eliezer is the author of this Mishnah that Beis Shammai would allow you, if it was pressed before Shabbos, you could have it continue to go on Shabbos. The Tzadon, the Mishnah tells us in this Masechet and Daf Kuf Mem Gimel, Chalos Dvash Shiriskun Be'er Shabbos. If you have some honeycombs that were already pressed before Shabbos, you squeezed out the honey before Shabbos, the Yatzim and Atzman, and they started to flow out on Shabbos itself, it's Aser. It's Aser to do that because we are concerned if you could get any of an additional Dvash that will come out on its own, that might lead you to actually squeeze it be a daim, which would be a violation of Schita, squeezing out the Dvash. But Rebbe Lazar says, Mati, he permits you that any, if you squeeze it before Shabbos, any additional Dvash that continues to come out, you can benefit from on Shabbos, and that we're not concerned lest you come to be Gozer. So Rabbi Eliezer really is the Shita here who allows you to. So it's either Rabbi Yishmael or Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara wants to know, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, who said that Rabbi Yishmael is the author, Rabbi Yishmael the one who said you could continue the process, my time alo amar ki Rabbi Eliezer. Why didn't he say the other position? Meaning there are two different Tanaim who could be the author of this Mishnah who allows Beis Shammai to continue to press wine press and olive press. Who? Why did they say Rabbi Yishmael over Rabbi Eliezer? So Amar Lach, he says back, because Hasam, who over there, by the case of the honey, the kara ochel, ulasof ochel, honey is initially ochel, when it's in the honeycomb, and when you squeeze it out, it's still ochel. And the schita is only shayach when you're squeezing out liquids from a salad. You're squeezing out olive oil from olives, wine from grape. But dvash from dvash, dvash is ochel, and it's ochel before, it's ochel afterwards, so therefore it's not subject to schita. The hacha meikar ochel v'hashtem ashke. But in our case of the olives and the grapes, it was first food, ochel, and now you're squeezing out liquid, and therefore it's not comparable to the case of dvash, because dvash is ochel. As a side point, it's just interesting that sometimes we find dvash is considered ochel, like the Gemara here, and other times we find dvash is considered liquid. Where do you find that dvash is considered liquid? So we know that there's shiva mashkin, there's seven different liquids that food has to come into contact with first in order for it to be susceptible to tumah. One of those seven liquids is dvash. So we see that there's this machlokas, whether or not, or maybe perhaps different context, or maybe depends on the consistency of the honey, whether dvash is ochel or whether dvash is mashke. Either way, for this reason, according to Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, he wanted to compare the case to a situation of squeezing out olives and grapes as opposed to comparing it to squeezing out honey. Now Rabbi Elazar Amalach, Rabbi Elazar says back, Hashmeinu Leh, we see that according to Rabbi Eliezer, that even when it comes to squeezing out the olives and grapes, it's permitted. When he came back from Nehardah, he presented a braisa. If olives and grapes were pressed before Shabbos, and it continues to flow on Shabbos itself, they're asur. But Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Matir, and he thinks they are permitted if the process was started beforehand. So now the Gemara says, so we see clearly here, that Rabbi Elazar, even though Rabbi Elazar was talking about honey beforehand, he also addressed the topic of grapes and olives. So we see that they're consistent. You can't be machalik between honey and grapes. See, Rabbi Elazar said the same heter, both by Dvash and also by Zeis and Vanov. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina Braisa lo Shmile. He did not hear the Braisa, and therefore he thought that Rabbi Elazar only says din by Dvash. He was unaware that Rabbi Elazar said his din also by Zeis and Vavanov. Now Rabbi Elazar, my time alone, mark Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina. Rabbi Elazar is the one who says that Rabbi Eliezer is the author, based on the Braisa of the Mishnah about Dvash. Why didn't he accept the position of Rabbi Yossi, who thought that Rabbi Shmuel was the author, the case of being, again, when the process, the pressing process was begun before Shabbos, you could have it continue to go on Shabbos, talking about a Novim and Zeis, and why didn't he hold that way? So Amar Lach, he says, Rabbi Elazar says back to him, Lav Itmar Lach, was it not said about that discussion of Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Kiva, about the wine press, that Amar Rava Bar Chanina, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, B'michusur Ndicha, if we're talking about the garlic and the grapes and the different stalks that didn't have any Ndicha, any pressing, any grinding yet, everyone agrees it's aser if you didn't start the process before him. Keep pligi when they're arguing is b'mechusern mechusarm shchika, where it's missing something else. Where the niduchu they were pressed once before, but they're missing a little bit shchika, which is a little bit more of the pressing. That's where there's a machlokas. But honey nami, these olives and these grapes, which we're talking about in the Mishnah, are k'mechusarm dichadami. They weren't yet pressed. And therefore, even there, Beis Shammai permitted you to do this on Shabbos, and for that reason, you couldn't say like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is only talking about a case where the ready was pressed before him, it was just missing a second level of pressing, a smaller pressing. When Beis Shammai said his din of the base core, he was talking about where it wasn't even pressed before, and you started the process, but there wasn't a real dicho before Shabbos. And even then, Beis Shammai permits it. And therefore, he can be consistent with the same braisa about Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, and for that reason, Rabbi Elazar had to be talking about a case of the Dvash as the model for Beis Shammai. Gemara now says, Horu Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina ki Rabbi Shmuel. Came out in the end of the day, Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina paskin halach lemaisa, that we paskin like Rabbi Shmuel, that if you started the process of putting the beam, you're putting the press on top of the garlic, grapes, or stalks before Shabbos, you can continue to have it go even on Shabbos itself, even according to the Shita of Beis Shammai. Okay, the Gemara now continues to say, we are halfway down Yud Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara says as follows, Shemen Shel Badadin, when it comes to Shemen Shel Badadin, Chatzalos Shel Badadin, what does that refer to? If you look at Rashi, more than halfway down the narrow lines, Rashi says, Shemen Shel Badadin, Aidi De'ari Be'Beis Abad, Nakala, we're talking about a Beis Abad, Badadin is a Beis Abad, of a pressing, a wine press, an olive press, and Shemen HaMishtar Bezavios Habad, that if some oil is stuck in the different corners and crevices of the Beis Abad, of the oil press, the owners of the Badadim, the Bali Badim, get to keep it. It's theirs. Even though someone else was using it, all the oil stuck in the cracks, the owner of the Beis Abad could keep it. And the different mats that they used to cover up the oil that would collect, that also was that of the Badadim. So the question becomes, so what's the discussion here? So the Gemara says, again, Shemen Shabadadim and Machatzal Shabadadim, the leftover oil, the leftover mats, they of the Badadim. But what's the status on Shabbos? Rav Aser Shmuel Sharim. The Machlok is whether these things are Muksa on Shabbos or not. So Rashi explains here, Rav Aser, the Tutul Mishum Muksa, this is Muksa. The Rav Savak Rabbi Yehuda B'Muksa, he holds in general, like Rabbi Yehuda, that Muksa is a concept on Shabbos. And Shmuel Savarla, Rabbi Shimon Delese Muksa. We'll see many places that Rabbi Shimon does not hold of Muksa, other than a few different exceptions. So the Machlok is whether there's Muksa or not. Rav and Shmuel align with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So what's the muksa we're talking about here? So there's a big discussion what type of muksa is at hand here, but according to Tosos writes in the bottom here, he quotes from Rabbeinu Tam that the items we're talking about here are muksa machbas mius, that because they're so disgusting, people are going to refrain from them, and that's the muksa that's being discussed. It seems from others that the Rashi later on will see, or maybe we won't see this inside or not, but these things were reserved for schora, for business. Things are, which are meant for merchandise and business are muksa pashas, the muksa machmas cheser and kiss, because you don't want them to get lost. You don't want to destroy your merchandise. So they're also because of muksa machmas cheser and kiss. So there's a machlokas what type of muksa, but either way, there's a machlokas whether we hold a muksa or we don't hold a muksa. So the Gemara says inside further now, Amar Rabbi Nachman. Eiz l'chalba. You have a goat that's designated for milking, and you have a rachel gezizasa. You have a rachel sheep that's designated for shearing its wool. Or tarnagolas lebeitasa, a chicken for its eggs. The Torah deridio. You have an ox been designated to plow. Of the tamre de iska, we have some type of dates that meant to sell. All these dinim, Rav Aser, Shmuel, Amar Mutar. Again, same exact thing. Machlokas, whether these things are muksa, they're preserved for merchandise, according to Rashi, or because maybe the muksa machmas muse. And kamiflagi, the Gemara says, the machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, is bepluksa, der behuda, Rabbi Shimon. This is a general machlokas, whether muksa exists on Shabbos, or it does not exist. Now again, when we say it doesn't exist according to Rabbi Shimon, that means in general muksa doesn't exist, but there are a few exceptions where even Rabbi Shimon will agree muksa does exist. So the Gemara now says, Ahu Talmida de'ori becharasa de'argiz. There's a certain Talmud that was passing a shaila in this city, which was called Argiz, ki Rabbi Shimon. He passed like Rabbi Shimon that there is no muksa. Shasham say Rav Hamnuna placed him in Nidur. So why do you place him in Nidur? V'hok Rabbi Shimon Sfirle, don't we hold like Rabbi Shimon that there is a muksa across the board, only in a few exceptions? Mar says, Ba'aser de Rav Hava. He was passing the city of Rav, and Rav, lo ibarle le mevid hachi. Rav held like Rabbi Huda that there is muksa. So if the passing against the Rav of the city, especially when it's Rav, that would be incorrect, and therefore placed in Nidur. So Gemara says, Hani tre tamide, there were two tamidim. They were arguing about a certain din when it came to. We're not going to fully appreciate this Gemara right now. The Gemara is here, but it's really based on a sugya much later on in the Masechta. But if there's a fire in a house, what are you allowed to carry to a chatzah mu revis? This is not a question of hotzah. We're talking about where everything's around an eruv. We're talking about when a person does a tircha yisera, what's allowed. So again, we're going to just be very superficial right now, but hopefully in a number of months from now when we get to the sugya, we'll be able to fully appreciate it. So there are hani tre talmidim, two talmidim we're arguing about when there's a fire in a house on Shabbos, chad matzil b'chad mana. One said, one of the talmidim, or at least what he had done, lemaisa, he carried a lot of different items into a huge suitcase, if you will, food and liquid, and he brought it out to the chatzir. And he felt it was better to carry one big load than to go back and forth many, many times. And chad matzah, one took four or five small little packages, and he went back and forth many times. He felt it was better to carry smaller items than it is to carry larger items. So this is really a question of tircha, which we'll appreciate later on. Ukimithlgi, the pluks of the rabba barzabda, Rav Huna. So these two talmidim had the same exact machlokas that the Almoroim had of Rabba Barzabda and Rav Huna, that we'll see later on Daf Kuf Chaf, about how what practice a person should have when dealing with a fire law they knew on Shabbos. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone have a wonderful day. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Let's maybe move it to 7:15. I'll post it on the chat as well, 7:15. Hopefully that'll give us enough time to say Hallel and Musaf as well. Everyone have a wonderful day.